Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
This is Jaguars Thursday from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. JP Shadrick with you. Jeff Loggeman off for the week. Tony Baselli pulling double duty in Mobile. We'll hear from the pride of the Jaguars left tackle coming up. Jaguars had a busy week this week. Hired two new offensive assistants. We'll hear from Tony coming up. The reaction to Doug Marrone and Greg Olsen joining the Jaguars staff. And, of course, Senior Bowl week continues in Mobile, Alabama. Tony Baselli, as we said, pulling double duty this week. Yes, he's on this show, as he always is, each and every Jaguars Thursday, but he's also helping out on the offensive line for the South team in Mobile. Today on Jaguars.com, during the live coverage of South team practice at Ladd Peebles Stadium, Tony Baselli was mic'd up live. Here's a take a listen. Let's
see what he said. Right, you're right. Don't jump. Stay on the line of scrimmage, all right? See how you're hopping a little bit? Don't hop. Shaq, come across so he doesn't have to hop out there and reach. You know what I'm saying? Come into him. He's big and strong. It can hurt him. Now, if I was over here, you'd really take it easy like you just did.
Tony is on the phone line now. What's up?
What's going on, JP?
It comes natural to you, Tony. I tell you. It's pretty good.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a lot of fun, that's for sure.
We'll talk about your coaching exploits coming up a little bit later on Jaguars Thursday. But obviously a busy week for Gus Bradley and the two additions to the coaching staff. Doug Marrone, the assistant head coach of offense and offensive line coach. Greg Olsen hired as the offensive coordinator. What do you make? Let's start with Marrone. What was your reaction to that hire?
Well, I think, I think it's a great hire, and Doug Marrone's very well respected, obviously. Just got done with the stint, and we talked about how he opted out as the head coach, which I don't think we've ever seen before. But his history as an offensive line coach, and I was actually talking to Mark Brunell, who was in New Orleans on that team that won the Super Bowl, and Doug Marrone was the offensive line coach, and had very high regard for him, really good things to say, and he has a great track record as a teacher and as a guy who really gets the most out of his guys up front. So I think that's a very good hire, and bring a veteran presence in, and I think it would be great for the entire room. And you still keep Luke Buckus, who did a good job last year, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity for him to learn from, continue his growth as a coach, and seeing firsthand what type of coach Luke is here has been great and very impressive, and I think it's just going to even make him better.
It's interesting to reading some of the articles that have come out after that hire that he didn't interview as the offensive coordinator. He interviewed as a line coach, right?
And that's what, I've heard the same things you guys have about that. There hasn't been a lot of talk about the interview process or anything out here in Mobile, just that Doug's coming on the staff and what a great addition it is. So, listen, I think it's a good hire, and I think it's going to help this team take the next step forward.
Tony Baselli with us live in Mobile, Alabama. He's helping coach the South team this week with the Jaguars coaching staff. Greg Olsen was here in 2012, of course, as a quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator the last 2 years in Oakland. Plenty of coordinator experience in the league, though, but a reputation of helping young quarterbacks improve with the talent that they have and making that a little bit better. That's kind of his MO, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, and you talk to people around the league, which I've done, and guys who've played for him and had the opportunity to be coached by him and around him, and you get nothing but extremely high praise, which he's able to do with the quarterback position. And then also as a coordinator, and he's very well respected. He's had success as far as with young quarterbacks in Tampa, and then last year with the Oakland Raiders, with Derek Carr, kind of you could see the progression that was made as an offense throughout the year. They started really poorly, and by the end they started having some success. And I was actually talking to some of the defensive coordinators that faced Greg Olsen last year as a coordinator, and they had very high praise of him here, and thought it was a good hire for the organization. So I think everyone's very excited, and Ole was a guy who was really liked and during his short stint here on the staff before. So I think it's a guy that Gus knows and really I think trusts and has high confidence in him and what he's going to expect.
You know, hindsight's 20/20, Tony, but all that coaching change in 2012 when Mularkey was out. Gus had just come in, but the assistants were already gone. That was part of the clean out. Looking back at it now, is it one of those that was maybe overlooked that he could have stuck around on this staff and maybe done pretty well here?
Well, JP, I think that's dangerous to do always because, I mean, we can all do that in a lot of aspects of our lives, kind of go back and say, man, if give me five do-overs in my life, and, man, I'd be really smart and really good at a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And you don't get to do that. You kind of make decisions based on the information you have and based on the situation, the circumstances that you're walking into, and I think that's what Gus did. And doesn't speak one way or another about any guy who was on that staff before he got here. And so I think, you know, timing is what it is as far as the timing. And Greg Olsen's here now. And so you make the most of it, and it's a great opportunity. And everything I've heard and from the comments and statements from Greg is that he's very excited to get back into Jacksonville and to get on the staff and kind of build this team and start taking the, you know, seeing the offense take next steps to what everyone hopes they can become.
Tony Boselli with us on Jaguars Thursday. He's live in Mobile, Alabama at the 2015 Reese's Senior Bowl, which comes up Saturday at Ladd Peebles Stadium. You know, I know you're a big Twitter guy, Tony, and I don't know if you followed it this week because of your coaching duties, but
I haven't. I haven't been on Twitter all week.
The fan reaction to the Olsen hire was not ideal, I guess is the best way to put it. Do fans overreact to coordinator hires? You know, the fans of the former team he was at are glad he's gone, but sometimes fans with the new guy coming in get a little upset, maybe more upset than they probably should. Is that – what do you make of all
that?
Well,
let me ask you this. Before I answer that, who are they saying they wanted?
Right. I mean, that's the question, too.
I mean, that's my question. I mean, who'd they want?
That's a good question.
I mean, do you know, JP?
No.
You're Mr. Twitter.
No, I don't think there's a single name that guys – when they hear all the names, everybody hears all the names, and everybody wants a different guy, I think. But
Well, listen, I think, you know, listen, here's the reality.
Does it make that big of a difference, I guess?
No, I don't think so. Listen, the fans will be very happy during the season if this offense is doing well and very upset if they're not. It's about results.
Right.
You know, so often we make such a big deal about winning in the offseason and, you know, in free agency or whatever you have. And it's an important time, and you got to get the right guys, and you got to get the right staff, and you got to get the right free agents and draft picks and everything else. But, you know, that's just all setting you up to have success come the regular season. So I respect the fans immensely. They're great fans in Jacksonville. Obviously, they're frustrated, and they want to win, and I get that, and everyone does. And I can understand, you know, the frustration. They look at numbers, where Oakland was rated and everything. But you have to look at the bigger picture, and you have to do your research of what he's been able to do with young players and young teams and the growth they've had under him. And I think that's why this is a really good hire.
Tony Boselli is with us live in Mobile, Alabama. And of course, in Mobile, this is a big coaching, I guess, convention and guys trying to get jobs. So I guess the Jags are pretty glad to have this thing over with before really hitting their stride in Mobile this week and having to hear guys coming at Gus and all this, right? I mean, it's good to have it already done. And was this time frame right for you, or was it a little too long?
Yeah. No, I think it's fine. I think, you know, Gus did a great job of really doing his due diligence and making sure he's doing all his homework and getting everyone on the same page and making sure the research and that he was satisfied with all the different interviews and getting the right guy. And, yeah, I think it is good you got it done before the Senior Bowl because, you know, if there's job openings on any team, it's like sharks with blood in the water. You know, people were looking for jobs if you're out of work, which I understand and respect. So I think it was a good thing that they got that wrapped up.
Tony Boselli, we will get into your thoughts on what's happened this week in Mobile, some prospects you've been working with. We heard a little of your comments earlier. We'll hear some of that coming up as well. We'll look around the National Football League with you as well. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll come back in a moment. More with Tony Boselli. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Get too wide, Blaine. He's right there. You don't take that huge. You don't take a huge kick. There you go. That's better.
Head up.
That's good. Good. Here, spread out this way, because he's inside now. Both inside. Blaine, get over here, because he's both on the same side. You're about to take two. Take two steps there. There you go. See, Trey, if he's that far inside, we want to cover him up. Because if he's rushing, let's say, a 2-eye, we want to cover him up to take away that inside rush. Because where's the one place we don't want to get beat? You want to get beat inside. Shortest line. Because so if I'm just taking one step, look how wide I am. And now it's really hard for me to move my feet. And so if he's inside, that's two steps. You got to get those two in front of him. All right, cover him up.
That's Tony Buscelli coaching earlier today at Ladd Peebles Stadium with the Jaguars coaching staff, working with the offensive line at Ladd Peebles Stadium in Mobile. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Buscelli over the phone line. Where are you right now, Tony?
We just finished a little offensive staff meeting watching the tape, so I'm in the convention center right across from the hotel we're staying at. So stepped out at the end of the meeting to make sure I get on the radio show, and it's all good.
Yeah, take us behind the
scenes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do we have to keep on listening to all that coaching stuff?
Yeah.
We do. Was that live? Was that live today?
You were live today, yes. You didn't drop any bad words or anything. Yeah, it's fine.
No, you know I don't talk that way, JP. Come
that's
on.
That's right. I mean, come on. It's football.
Did anyone listen to it, or was it just you and Joe?
It was me and Joe. We were here, at least in the office. I'm sure there were thousands probably listening online.
We got 2 or 3 hits on the website.
Oh, we'll look at the stats and see. I mean, you draw a crowd, Tony. You draw a crowd. Don't act like you're not the pride of the Jaguars, Tony.
Yeah. It was fun. I'll tell you what, JP, it is fun. That coaching is a lot of fun. Oh, I love it. You know, it's why I coach high school football. I'm just trying to, you know, you have some knowledge and experience and what you've learned and trying to just help other guys get better and be a part of that, and it's been a great experience, and cannot say enough about Gus and the staff and just how they have let me be involved. I mean, Luke and has been great to work with here, and so it's a really good experience.
Take us through it. I'm sure Gus is probably treating this like a regular game week as much as he can, that he would prepare for the Jaguars to play as much as he can the South team, right? That's kind of the feel.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. With the time we have, you know, one of the things that's a little bit was surprising to me is how little meeting time we get with the players, and hats off to them, because we loaded them up with a lot of information on the first day of what we're going to do, and we try to keep it as simple as possible so they can kind of show off their talents. But the guys up front, the offensive line, has done a great job of kind of getting all that information and really learning it and learning what we're asking them to do, and then going out and performing at a pretty good level and with very little meeting time, because there's so many other demands they have on them here at the Senior Bowl, from events to meeting with scouts and interviews and, you know, just all the, you know, what all that goes into it. And so that's the one surprising thing, just not as much meeting time as you would typically have during a week getting ready for a game.
Tony Buscelli with us live in Mobile. So do you have time otherwise to pick their brain, or are you just out there on the field evaluating, helping them practice, and then watching film afterward? How much do you actually interact with the player?
You know, you see him in the lunchroom, and you see him around the hotel a little bit, and you try to get with them and get with them. You know, we try to get them down here a little bit early if they can around their stuff, and you talk to them before practice and after practice, and, you know, just, you know, trying to learn as much as you can. And the staff is doing a lot more of that than I do, because they're really trying to evaluate and building a kind of a dossier on these guys, a booklet, you know, so they can get as much information.
I know what a dossier is, okay? Don't act.
Well,
like
I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you.
You know, with your education level.
Come on.
I mean,
now.
I just wanted to make sure that, you know, they're interviewing them. You know, Luke will meet with the offensive line in one-on-one situations and interview them, and the rest of the coaches will do that with their guys, trying to kind of dig in deep. And then I believe it's tomorrow. The staff will flip and go interview the guys from the north that they want to talk to. So that is pretty in-depth. And I'm not doing, you know, I talk to the guys and just learn what I can individually. And so if I'm ever asked of an opinion or anything else, I can give it to. But they really dig in deep. And so they spend a little bit more time doing that with those guys.
Take us through some of the prospects on the South team that you've been working with this week. Who's standing out so far on the line for you?
You know, I can't give any insight.
Come on, Tony. I mean, come on. That's why you're here. Let's go.
I'm joking with you. You know, our group is good. It was it's been a good group to work with. You know, got a lot of SEC guys. You know, two guys from Alabama, Ari Quanjo and Shepard. I'm blanking on Shepard's first
Alex
name. You probably know.
Yep,
Alex. Yep, the big right tackle.
Yep.
Lael Collins, the left tackle from LSU, is a big, strong kid who's had a good week. And really, you know, him and Ari Quanjo are really good players, really powerful human beings that can Shepard, you know, is and Shepard right tackle. That's his natural position, has done a good job. And then we have a couple Mississippi State guys, excuse me, the center, Dylan Day. You know, everyone knows him, all tatted up with long blonde hair hanging out of his helmet. He's one of the centers. The other center is the Remington Award winner, Reese, I'm going to mess up his name, the Auburn center, Dimrosky or Dimskrosky, who's a good, you know, a good, strong player, maybe a little bit undersized as far as you, when you look at compared to Nari Quanjo or Lael Collins, but he's really a smart football player. I've been really impressed with his. He's really engaged and has learned stuff and is a good player. And we had an injury to one of the players that was in the first couple of days, a big tackle from TCU. And so today, first day, he actually got in late last night, a kid named Blaine. And what's Blaine's last name? He literally just got here. He's the left tackle from
Michigan. Yeah, we heard you talking about him on the –
Yeah.
Blaine Clausell from Mississippi State,
yep.
Right?
That's right. What a big, strong, athletic guy. I mean, he is. And you talk about being thrown into the deep end. You know, you imagine showing up. They give you a playbook. You don't even get to meet with your coaches or anything. You had an hour meeting as a group before you went on the field, and you're asked to do everything. And he did a good job. He is a really natural pass blocker with real long arms. And boy, he'd be. I'd really enjoy working with him. He'd be fun to work with. So. You know, a lot of those guys have had good weeks. Trey Jackson from Florida State is a right guard who he can play either guard. Who's a physical and athletic kid who's been impressive and has had a good week. And you know, one of the things I really like about all these guys is one of the things I look for is how coachable are you. You know, are you a guy, you know, like a guy like Lael Collins from LSU, mm-hmm. You know, he's a, you know, they're saying he could be a mid to late first round draft pick. You know, you come into a situation, you come in with like, I kind of got this figured out and, you know, maybe a little bit of a turd.
Yeah, you don't want to know it all, right?
Yeah, and you don't want a turd. You don't want a turd in your meeting room. And none of these guys are. I mean, they're very open. They want to learn. They ask questions. They're open to, you know, being critiqued and criticized constructively. And they really respond well to it. And that's the one thing that, you know, and you don't know. I wouldn't have thought we'd get 10 guys like that, and we have. And so that has been a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, the demands physically that and how the Jaguars practice and what Luke Buckus, you know, the drills and the reps and the how fast he asks everyone to move, it's a demanding practice. And they have really – they're in shape and they're ready to go. So a lot of guys have been good. I think there's some, you know, I don't know where these guys are going to be ranked because all I've seen is 10 guys and, you know, there's probably 100 offensive linemen in this draft.
Sure.
So there's a lot, it's hard to give a reference to where they'll be drafted. But there's guys, I'll say this, there's a number of guys on the South team that can play on Sunday and can help ball clubs and make the ball clubs better.
Tony Buscelli with us live in Mobile. I mean, you never got to do this as a player. Obviously, you told us that last week. You never went. You were going to be a top five pick, so why go? So, did you miss the opportunity? Looking back at it now that you've been there or no?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it would have been good to come out here and compete, but it wasn't going to help me.
No, I mean, you were number two overall. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nowhere to go, so. I do think it's good for guys to come out here and compete. I think you can really show what type of individual you are, how you handle meetings, your capacity to learn, and how quickly you can absorb things. But, no, I mean, I think I made the right decision. I got good counsel from Coach Robinson at USC of not to go to any of the All-Star games, and I have no regrets. But I'll tell you this, this week as a coach with the Jaguars is a memory I'll have for a long time. And I've said it multiple times, and I thank Gus while I was here, I can't be more thankful for the opportunity to do it. It's just a good time. It's fun to coach. It's fun to help these guys get better. And I've learned a lot. I think it'll, you know, watch out Episcopal when I come back there. I got a lot of information I can help these high school kids out with.
I was going to say, yeah, you have some coaching experience at the high school level, but when the Buscelli sons are gone from high school, is there a chance that the elder Tony Buscelli could, would you be coaching somewhere? What do you think?
Dave, I have no idea.
Come
I
mean, on, listen, Tony. Let's go.
I really don't. No. I love doing the radio. I love doing radio with for the Jaguars. It's one of my favorite things I do. I love talking about the team. I enjoy, you know, our Monday and Thursday night shows. Looking forward to doing it next year again and hopefully for years to come. And so I have no plans to do anything but that right now. And, I can't look into the future, what's going to happen. But the last 2 years of doing radio and being on the air and talking about the team and interacting with, you know, the coaches and, you know, Dave, the owner, and be able to go out on the caravans during the off season, something I really enjoy. I mean, that's interacting with the fans that way is something that is fun for me, and talking about this football in general, but especially the Jaguars on the radio on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And getting able to call games, because I look forward to when we get a chance to call, you know, playoff games and hopefully the Super Bowl one day. And I have no plans. This was a thing I asked Gus to do, just to come help and to learn and to see, you know, how I could become a better coach for the high school from what I'm doing right now. And just to be around it. I love being around football. That's why I love doing the radio. I love doing the radio because we get to talk about football and we get to talk about the Jaguars and we get to give our opinion of how we think, you know, we can be better or what we can do, and to be a part of the organization. Heck, I went and stood in the pouring rain in New England and watched one of the worst football games of all of the playoffs. But I was, you know, talking about football and being around it. I love it, and the chance to get it to do in Jacksonville, interacting with the fans, is a ton of fun. So I have no plans to do anything but that right now.
I'll tell you what, you tap dance just about as good as Tom Brady does. Talking about.
No, what are you talking about?
Come on.
So you're saying?
Just admit it. You want to coach?
I didn't say I'm a coach. I am going to coach. I'm going to coach high school. I love coaching high school football right now. And I love doing radio. And so I get to do both right now. So there's no need for me to choose one or the other. I get to do both right now.
That's pretty cool.
So why are you trying to put words in my mouth?
I'm not trying to put them in your mouth. I'm trying to get you to say it.
I just said it. I get to do both. Right. I get to coach football. I get to, you know, help kids get better. And I get to talk on the radio and be on shows with idiots like you on a weekly basis. What else would I rather be doing?
That's sweet of you.
Did I just call you? Did I call you an idiot?
Yeah, that's okay.
That's not very nice.
Well, that's okay.
Our producer Joe has been trying to work on me, trying to get me to be a little bit nicer. So
you've been doing a fine job. I can take the idiot comment. It's probably deserved, actually.
No, but I love it, JP. I mean, listen, we have too good of time doing what we do. I
agree. Yeah,
I look forward to doing it.
I'm not going to coach anytime soon. I'm not looking for a coaching gig. So,
but that's one of the things. I mean, you know, one of the things I've heard is, you know, oh, he's going to coach, and
right.
You know, I came over here because I wanted to learn and be around the team and Gus, and I have a lot of respect for him as a coach, and I have a lot of respect for the staff in general. And I was not doing any first time all year, not doing any games, whether it's the Jaguars or the NFL, because I'm done with the playoffs. I'm not doing the Super Bowl, so I had a week. You know, I was like, hey, let's, you know, we're going to be out here. I hope we're never back here. I hope this staff is never back here again coaching this game. I hope this is the last opportunity I ever have to do it, because that means we're winning and we're, you know, we're growing and getting in the playoffs. And so I said, I'm going to take advantage of, you know, probably hopefully the last chance ever get to do this with this staff.
Tony, I know you're ready to talk about deflated footballs, so we'll get your comments about that coming up in a moment. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. We look around the National Football League. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
B, it's quick, so right? So you can go. Straight arm, go. You got to get there. This wheel's coming here. You got him.
to figure you guys' calls out. So again, double, echo the call. Help each other out. I'm not hearing a lot of talking.
Better.
So one more.
Better, yeah.
Because laying into.
Well, I mean, you just want. So if you're the one,
you shed a little bit of that
and I'm here, bed. You got here and got pushed off.
Yeah.
I just want to be here and not let him push me off the
okay,
bus.
Okay, hey, let's do this now. Let's take out.
You're wrapping to the front side backer. Inside out when you get around. And so if we have a tray, you might get all the way around the tray if they do a good job and knock it down, all right?
Okay, let's do this.
You don't have to be too quick. You got time to sell it. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay. So Ty, here we go.
Your right guard, come on. Your right guard. Right's over here.
So we're the open side?
Yeah, we're open. Are you the second right guard?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Tony Vaselli mic'd up earlier today from South team practice at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. And Tony Vaselli's on the phone with us tonight. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. JP Shadrick with you. Do these players know who you are, Tony?
I don't think they really do have any idea who I am. I think some of them might have I think they do now because, you know, Luke explained. but my guess is 90% of them had no clue.
These guys are like 21 years old, right? I mean.
Yeah, so they're like 20. Let's say they're 22, yeah. Most of them, 21,
seniors,
22.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So that's, I was, you know, that means they're like 10, 9 or 10.
So you're like 60.
I mean,
you're 60 because you were an older man when you got here, right?
Yeah, but think about that. I mean, how many 9 and 10 year olds or 11 year olds really know who the offensive lineman is on any team?
All right, that's right.
And they're more worried about they're more worried about the people that really don't matter.
What do you mean by that?
You can't win a ball game. You can't play the game without the five fat guys up front. You can't win without them.
Well, I mean, but you're not stars, Tony.
Yeah, but we're the most important.
But how do you explain that to a young kid?
It's not my problem. I don't have to explain anything. He's got to go do it.
Fair enough. All right. Hey, let's look around the National Football League. A 360-degree look around the National Football League presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. Tony, deflated footballs. Boy, this has turned into a monster story. The press conference for Tom Brady today in the afternoon was carried by CNN, one of the over-the-air networks as well, NFL Network, of course. Do you believe Tom Brady and the Patriots that they didn't know what was going on?
Do I believe Tom Brady? I mean, my guess is he probably didn't, you know. My guess is he physically did not deflate the footballs. Now, did he hear about it? Was he made aware of it? I don't know. I mean, I understand why it's a big deal. I mean, if they can prove that it was purposely done, I mean, it's cheating. Now, listen, they were going to the football game with, if they had deflated beach balls. But, you know, that didn't matter. The fact is, if they cheated because they have a history of cheating, they've already been caught once, I think it's a story, and it matters. And I think there's going to be probably some serious consequences given to the organization and Bill Belichick if they tie it back to him. You know, but I'm going to give Tom Brady the benefit of the doubt. Never lied to me, so until proven differently, I think you got to give him, you got to believe him.
Your boy Mark Brunell on ESPN today said he didn't believe him at all.
He didn't believe him. Wow.
At all.
Calling Tom Brady. Well, that's why he's on ESPN. Listen, it's all speculation. My guess is, or who I won't give the benefit of the doubt, is Bill Belichick. Because he's been caught cheating before.
Right, sure.
And so, I mean, once you get caught cheating, you know, it's like I tell my kids, if you lie to me and don't tell me the truth, then the next time you tell me something, my first thought is that you're lying again. And he's been caught cheating before, and now this, in a big moment, makes a scientific difference, and I've heard Mark talk about it. It's easier to grip the ball when it's wet. If it's a little deflated, you throw it easier. And so it makes a huge difference in the ball game. So, but I'll give Tom the benefit of the doubt. I think I'll I won't give it to Belichick because he has not earned that at this point.
So if they determine and figure out the source of this, what is an appropriate punishment for the organization or Belichick or Brady or whoever is found responsible here?
Your first thought is to just, you know, find them draft picks and find them a lot of money. You know, but I heard someone say the other day, you know, suspend Belichick. If they find him, do it, suspend him for four games next year. Four regular season games. He can't be around the facility. And it's and dock the pay. It's a second offense. Find him half the year. I don't know. Kick him out for a year. That's what they did to Sean Payton.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of what he did. If there is proof, if there's a smoking gun back to Bill Belichick that he had knowledge and he authorized or dictated that this be done, then you suspend him. Money, and you suspend him. Because do you think Bill Belichick cares if you take a draft pick away? I mean, sure, he'd like it. But you take football away? Think long and hard about doing anything again like that. And I think there's precedence for that, how they handled the Sean Payton issue.
Marshawn Lynch fined $25,000 for an obscene gesture after his fourth quarter touchdown in the NFC Championship game. What do you make of these gestures from Lynch and just his whole, I guess, act with the media and everything, too? What do you make of all this?
Well, maybe his jock itch. Have we confirmed that he doesn't just, you know, need some spray down there to make sure that it gets taken care of? Because there's a lot of grabbing, a lot of ball grabbing, you know.
Okay.
That's what he – I'm just letting people know what the gesture is. And there might be a listening audience that didn't see what the gesture is. He's grabbing his crotch.
Michael Jackson, almost.
Yeah, he's, you know. So he's either got an itch or he's just got a real bad habit and he needs to break. I think it's a – listen, my problem with it, Marshawn Lynch is a heck of a player. I love the block for him. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up. One of these selfish acts is going to hurt the team and cost them a football game. And if you're the Seattle Seahawks, you hope it's not in the Super Bowl. Because sooner or later, it's going to be the wrong time. It could have hurt them there if the officials would have saw it and flagged them. Going for the two-point conversion would have been from the 17-yard line instead of the two.
Yeah.
So he's going to knock it off as selfish. He doesn't care about the fine, I promise you that. But his team and his coaches should try to communicate in a way that does not put him into the tank. Can't be doing stuff. It's got to be about the team. You can't be making selfish acts like that because it's going to hurt him in the long run.
We know you were a player.
He has an itch, just get some spray.
Fair enough. We know you were a player that was never scared of a microphone, Tony, but what do you make of him and the whole media battle, I guess?
I think by the league finding him and kind of bringing it to light, it empowers him more, and now he can make a mockery of the entire situation.
Right.
And so I think he probably hit the game at this point. This is a guy who doesn't want to talk. I think it's part of the job and responsibility of a professional athlete to communicate to the media, because it's not talking to the media. You're speaking to the fans. That is the conduit to the fans. The fans are, I've always said, kind of the part of the process, you know, maybe the third leg of the NFL. You have, you know, the league and the coaches, you have the players, and then you have the fans. You need all of them. The game doesn't exist without all of them, and the fans are a huge part of it. Talk to the media. You're talking to the fans. Tell your story. Tell your perspective. Give insight. That's what the fans want. They deserve it. They spend a lot of money at games. They spend a lot of money on merchandise. They spend a lot of money on licensing issues and video and everything else. Speak to them. You know, if you don't like the media, act like you're talking to the fans and ignore the media. But I just think, you know, it's become a game now. You know, so he probably even enjoys it more. I don't know him that well, but I do think it's the job and responsibility of the players to talk to the media.
Let's finish with this. The NFL today announced that all three of the games in London this year will kick off at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. We already knew the Jaguars game was going to be that early, but now all three. So three different weekends, Tony, of a quadruple header. The league wants to own Sunday television. I think that's part of it, right?
I think they already do. They already own Sunday television. It's dominant television. And I guess the people who want to go to church are going to have to go Saturday night church. Get to the Saturday night service because the games are going to start. Every time they play in London, they're going to be on early. And it's going to be a full full plate. It's going to be a quadruple header those weekends. And obviously when they tested it this year, the ratings were through the roof, and they can make some more money. And so if it works and they can make money, they're going to do it.
Tony Vaselli, live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Have a great rest of the week, and enjoy it with the coaching staff.
All right, hey guys, enjoyed it. JP, can't wait to see you next week.
Sounds great. Tony Vaselli joining us from the Riverview Renaissance Hotel in Mobile in the convention center right across the street where the Jaguars coaching staff is working with the South team this week. We'll come back in a moment. We'll hear from John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. He's on I-10 somewhere heading back. Get his view of the week and the coverage in Mobile. The final segment of Jaguars Thursday is after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Final segment of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. And we're joined by Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier, who is, I guess you're somewhere on Interstate 10 right now, John.
Yes, we are. You flying solo today, JP?
Flying solo. We had Coach Tony Vaselli on the phone earlier.
But that must have been a thing, huh?
Oh, it was. Ratings spiked, I tell you. It was a big show.
He's done a great job out here this week, and if you don't believe it, just ask me.
Yeah, great to hear. You guys have done a great job, too. All the live coverage and writing from Mobile. It's still ongoing, of course, throughout the week. You guys are heading back. But, coverage has been fantastic in Mobile this week, John.
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, you and I have done this a couple of times together, and, you know, it's a fun week. It's a little odd when the South team practices in the afternoon and you've got that staff, because you kind of get going a little late, as you guys experienced last year.
Yeah.
So, stuff's going on the site a little later than normal, but, you know, it's been such a busy week with the Marone, with Olsen, and with Gus kind of working through that, it's been fun to see it. It's been interesting.
John Osier is with us, Jaguars.com senior writer. So what has been the reaction, throughout the league there in Mobile to those hires of Marone and Olsen? What's kind of the buzz around the league after that?
Well, as you know, any time that you talk to anytime you hire a couple of coaches, you know, coaches are usually well respected within the league, and you're going to get that line. But then when you talk to people privately about Marone and about Olsen, Marone comes with a reputation as being a very tough guy. I had a couple of coaches say, "Hey, you know, the offensive line with that, with those guys, they're going to have to be ready." I mean, he will push them. He will work them. That's a good thing. Everybody play for Tom, and he's a tough guy, but that's what you want. You want guys who are going to push players. So I think that's definitely the MO there. He's obviously an experienced guy. I think a lot of people thought he would still be a head coach in the league, so he certainly comes with that credential. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. I mean, this is a team, this is a young team, as you know, JP, and they've hired some more experience within, these two key positions. So I think it's a good thing. And the Greg Olsen hire, look, I get that people, you had read a wrote this morning, fans aren't dazzled by it because it's a familiar name and there are other coordinators out there who have more highly ranked offenses,
right?
And that's how it is. But when staffs look for coordinators, they're looking a lot deeper than just where the offense is ranked. They understand there's been circumstances with coaches, they've been in different situations, so they try to look for things that go beyond the numbers, and that's what the Jaguars did with this.
John, it's not like Gus and Greg Olsen don't have history. I mean, they coached together, I mean, for 1 year at least in 08 in Tampa. They were both positional coaches there. So they have a little bit of a history. It's not like he went in blind to Greg Olsen. They've known about each other for a while.
He knew about him, and it was pretty clear from listening to Gus yesterday after the announcement was made that, yes, he went into it with the idea of I'm going to look at all these five or six candidates. I'm going to do a hard target national search. Obviously, it's a national search, but it was also clear that he liked the idea of Greg Olson from the start, and that he was a leader in the clubhouse at some point, so to speak, and somebody's going to kind of have to knock him off that path. And I thought that Dave Caldwell said something very interesting after this hire was made yesterday. And he was sort of asked about what's important for a coordinator. And everybody wants to talk about play calling and what you see on game day. And yes, that's important. But Dave also said it's a lot more of an organizational sort of tone setting, lead the offensive staff, get the players to believe in you type of job. And that's really where they feel like Greg has a lot of strength. So these guys have a charge, definitely. I mean, Olson, Marone, and the staff they hire, and Gus, they've got to get this offense right. They've got to get a plan in place that these young players can develop. And they feel like the experience level of these two guys is going to give them a good step up toward doing that. And I don't think fans are going to be thrilled because these aren't sexy hires. But we've got free agency in a couple of weeks. Let that take care of the sexy part and let these guys get the job done, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. John Osier is with us, Jaguars.com senior writer. You know, we read on the website earlier this week that Russell Allen was in Mobile, former Jaguars linebacker. There's always, you know, former players that you might not expect to see at an event like the Senior Bowl looking around. Was that the only surprise almost for you, seeing Russell there? Who else kind of stood out to you in Mobile this week?
Yeah, the only shock on Jack, I mean, it was kind of funny. You always see different stuff at the Senior Bowl for a couple of reasons. It's sort of the start of the new league year. So, I mean, that doesn't really happen until March, but it's the first off-season thing.
Right.
You got a lot of guys who are like, okay, I'm going to get back into it this year. So you see that a lot. You saw Greg Jones coaching. You saw Tony Baselli working with him. I saw David Garrard on the field the other day. Didn't get a chance to talk with him. You see Russell Allen. So you always sort of see some new faces and new places sort of thing. So Russell just said, hey, you know, that was the most interesting thing was he said, yeah, I missed the game. You know, but he said, I was going to miss that no matter what. And he had that tone that you often hear from ex-players, tough first season, obviously being away from it, and now he sort of wants to see what the future holds. And I didn't expect to see him there, but I wasn't surprised when I saw him there, because I don't think there's any question anybody who's been around Russell Allen, I think he can be a coach, certainly could be a personnel guy, certainly a smart guy, loves the game, and he relates well with people. So I'd be surprised if he wants to do this if you don't see him over the Senior Bowl in a year or two wearing the garb of some team, and wouldn't be surprised to see him be successful in this league.
Garb is a big topic in Mobile, of course, every year. John Osier's with us, Jaguars.com senior writer, somewhere on Interstate 10, heading back from Senior Bowl coverage this week. So, for here on Jaguars.com, the next couple weeks is just have a countdown. Top plays are coming up, and then combine coverage is coming right around the corner, John. That's another huge event in our offseason on Jaguars.com.
Yeah, and it seems like every year, you know, you always get asked by fans, like last season, oh, so what are you going to do in the offseason? Take a couple months off? And, you know, it doesn't really work that way in the NFL anymore by design. They set it up. They got the Senior Bowl. And as you said, we'll basically get back this week. I expect next week to be a huge week in terms of some access to these new coaches, Marone and Olson. A lot to sift through in terms of how they lay out their philosophy. Then they'll be announcing sort of how the coaching staff's going to look. By then, the Super Bowl's over, and then you're only a couple weeks from the combine, and you start talking about free agency. Guys get re-signed. Players are going to re-sign. They're going to decide if they let guys go. I don't know if that's coming or not, but it seems anymore like every week that you sort of expect a slow week, that it's not. So there'll be plenty going on the site.
Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier joining us from Interstate 10 in Mobile. I guess you're with Dave DeCandis, so tell Dave to drive careful on the way back.
I will, and I was thinking as I drove this, You've been on this road a few times in your day, haven't you, JJ?
Yeah, I have burned up some
asphalt. Familiar to you.
I have burned up some asphalt on I-10. I certainly have. And you guys will tonight. Be careful. We'll talk to you, I guess, tomorrow when you get back.
I'll look forward to that, JP. We'll see you guys then.
There he is, senior writer John Osier from Jaguars.com joining us after the coverage in Mobile throughout the week. Our thanks to Tony Baselli as well. Proud of the Jaguars left tackle, helping out with the coaching staff. He was mic'd up today on Jaguars.com. If you have a chance, check it out. All the coverage is there on a Senior Bowl Central page on the website for all the coverage throughout the week. Bob Babich was mic'd up live earlier in the week. Todd Wash, defensive line coach. Tony Baselli as well. Coming up on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM, UNF basketball at Northern Kentucky. Stay tuned for that. Our thanks to Joe Fortunato. And thanks to you for listening tonight. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.